going to bubble over into the church, into the ancillary ministries of the church, Lord, that are outside this building. And so we thank you, God, for it. Continue, Lord. Continue to move. Continue to waken us up. And we just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I appreciate what Elizabeth said. Unfortunately, I should have wrote a little note with what you said, but it had to do with seeing, right? And seeing in a different manner. And the name of the message that I have today is having eyes to see and ears to listen. Now, I want you to notice it doesn't say ears to hear. Because the Lord was very specific about it because, you know, many times we hear things, but we're not really listening. And by listening, I don't mean that we're not paying attention. I mean that we're not receiving what's being said in our inner man. And what happens then, it remains on the surface, and it becomes like a religious thing instead of the power to actually make a transformation. So over the last couple of weeks, I've been speaking about, last week in particular, that Jesus was anointed, the scripture said that he was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit. In other words, God gave him the power for good works. Remember that? And then through the extension of Jesus' ministry, he then passed on that anointing to his disciples, to us, to his church. And in Ephesians 2, Paul said that we're the masterpieces of God created to do good works, right? And so we're supposed to be carrying this. And I said that we're supposed to represent God or represent God on earth. And that's a daunting thing when you take it from the viewing platform that you would have. When you hear that and you say, okay, I'm looking at it, and then you try to process it through your own mind and the way that you look at stuff, you know, it becomes daunting. Like, how can I possibly represent God? God in his awesomeness, or Jesus, or anything. So I'd like to continue a little bit with those thoughts today. I had a couple other thoughts about this idea of anointing and consecration. Consecration just means separation and for the work of God. And I think that's really what it's about. See, it's not just getting an anointing so that we can speak about God. It's an anointing to actually have God move through us so that good works flow. And I want to talk to you about what I think good works mean, too, as we progress into this. Anyway, Luke 4:18, Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel. Remember that? Yeah. Now, everybody knows that the gospel is good news. That's what gospel means, good news. And it was the good news that God now made through Jesus himself available for us to access the power to actually do the good works. Right? So you don't have to go out and manufacture the good works. And Gail's example was beautiful. She's all nervous about, and anybody, we all are nervous about, you know, what we're going to be doing, because we want it to be good and we want people to be blessed and we want to be acknowledged. You know, I mean, we do have the need, you know. but really, the things that we do for God, when we give them to God, they're accomplished by God. Amen. It's the power. We're anointed, as Jesus was, with the Holy Spirit to do good works. So it's really God doing the good works, empowering us through the Holy Spirit. So that's the good news, that we have access to that power to do this good work, right? So that's one thing. The other thing is Jesus was called the Incarnation, and we've talked about this in the past. Incarnation, or incarnate, means in flesh. You know, carne, meat, in meat. Nobody's laughing. Okay, in meat, in flesh. Okay. So what does that mean? It means that Jesus was the embodiment of God, who was spirit, taken in human form, right? He was actually God. He wasn't just someone who was reflecting God. He was God, right? He's also called the living word, right? Now, I'm giving you the different names of Jesus, and I'm going to tie them in. There's a reason. Method to the madness, yeah. John the Evangelist, you know, he went as far as to say that Jesus was the ultimate communication of God. How did he say that? He said, well, he was the Word who became flesh. Jesus was the ultimate communication of God. Now notice, I didn't say that Jesus was the ultimate communicator of God. And I think that this is the differentiation between this, if we get this, will help us in moving forward and representing God and representing God. When you're the communicator, you're actually hearing something and then you're re-communicating it. Jesus was not just a communicator. He wasn't just telling the earth about God. He was the communication of God. He was the communication of God. So when Jesus spoke as the living Word, when he spoke, it wasn't Jesus, the man, speaking. It was God speaking. And when God, you remember what happens when God speaks? What happens? Things get created, right? He spoke the world. He spoke the animals. He spoke man. He spoke this and birds and this and that. He's still speaking that way through people who have received the anointing from the Holy Spirit to be that communication. And it's all the difference in the world. It's the difference between standing up in a pulpit and preaching theology or the religious understanding that men have and imparting the very presence and power of God to do what the good, and that's the good works. The good works are to speak into people's lives life.
Amen.
Through Jesus, God himself touched children, embraced sinners, wept, met with outcasts, spoke to the skeptics. Through Jesus, God talked, listened, felt, confronted, cared, touched, disclosed. He became involved in every expression of communication that is associated with intimacy. Guess who has that same anointing? Yeah. That's almost, I mean, it is a miracle. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Most of us don't move in it for that reason. We don't believe it. But God is bringing us about to have interactions. And he does it not just in a religious manner, not just in church, and not just in the ways that we expect him to, but in ways that seem maybe unpleasant in some ways. Excuse me, I'm going to get a little drink of water here. He brings about choices that we have to make that will either allow us to move ahead in the anointing or to stay back in the flesh. Every time someone, there's an opportunity for an offense. I've had this week. What a week I've had, boy. You want to? It's been over 2 weeks actually. Well, I'll tell you the story. Not during the message, but I've had an opportunity to be offended, and. And I mean, I could justify being offended or to just say, you know what? I understand why this person is saying this thing from their viewing platform. That's the way they see it. I don't have to receive it. So I can make a choice now. I can be offended and carry an offense on that holds me back. Or I can just say, I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I'm not receiving it, whether I say that to them or not, but in my own heart. By doing that, I express humility, and humility, right, we all know that God exalts the humble. So there's an advance when we're right. Able to just lay ourselves down. Right. That's enough about me. So anyway, we have the same anointing. And so when Jesus preached, when Jesus preached, there was a flow of anointing that came over people. I want to advance to you that when Jesus is preached, when we speak about Jesus, when we preach Jesus, that same anointing flows. Because when he's communicated, the Father is communicated. And when the Father is communicated, anointing flows. Now, anointing, in case you don't know what I'm talking about, is it's like a supernatural grace for a specific thing. And there are different anointings, right, as we know. And God has a great way of giving us the exact anointing that we need. So, because it's not about us, if we release it, whatever anointing is necessary, it does. So, whenever you hear Jesus preached, or the good news is proclaimed in your life, what happens is a word of life is imparted to you. Life is communicated to you. Not just so that you hear it, but that you listen and receive it. See, because things can be spoken over your life, and it's great, it's powerful, but if you don't receive it, you don't have it. You know about it. You receive the communication through a communicator instead of an impartation. You haven't received the communication, is what I'm saying. Now, Jesus, when he said, excuse me, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach, you know, the good news and all this. The word preach there, I looked it up in Hebrew. It means more than just speaking. See, God didn't anoint them just to speak about God. It means to deliver with more than words, to bring a substance. And the substance that Jesus was anointed to bring, you can look at it in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, prosperity to the poor. The sick and the broken ones would be healed. The weak were to be made strong. And those who were held captive in sin and addictions would be free. To break every chain, as we sang today. These are the good works that Jesus was anointed to do, and which we were also, by extension, anointed to do. You can look at, I gave you the scriptures last week. They're Acts 10:38 and Ephesians 2:10. I think they're up on the board there. They're not just words. They're actions with substance. When you preach Jesus from that belief, you know, from that believing platform, you're able to impart a substance into a person that changes the atmosphere for them and changes their reality for them. So I ask myself, self-assess, how come I'm not more successful at that? I mean, I believe this, and I pray, I believe. I want to see more, Lord. I want to see the poor prosper. I want to see sick people healed. I want the captives released. I want to be more effective in how I pray. And you know what? God is good, and he always shows me, he encourages me, because we all need encouragement, right? We're all just flesh too. It doesn't matter that how much we know. You need to see it play out, right? So I think he started to give me a little understanding. I'm going to share it with you and see if it makes any sense to you today. I think it starts with understanding that Jesus wasn't the communicator, he was the communication of God. So that was the beginning of it. What that said to me was, it's not so much knowing of the things about God. It's about having this interaction with God where his word becomes life to me. And so as it becomes life to me, I am lifed. And as I'm lifed, then that is the anointing for me to be able to do the good works that needs to be done, whether it's healing the sick or, you know, delivering people who are in bondage. See, because I believe that the church to this point has really been about telling people about Jesus and not communicating him. Communicating in power. The power to change. I don't, you know, there's a whole bunch of different reasons why and it doesn't really matter why. And it's not an indictment. It's a point of making, saying what's true so that we can move past it. If you don't even acknowledge that it's not true, then you're never going to even try to move past it. And you know what? The modern church is not alone in this. Of course, I'm going to read Romans 11:8. But Paul was referring to Israel at the time. But I think that there's an element of truth in this. Let me read it to you, Romans 11:8. It says, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that should not see and ears that should not hear. I think there's a spirit of stupid, a stupor, and stupid too. And I don't mean that as a negative indictment, although it sounds like that, but I don't mean it like that. God has released a spirit of stupor that we don't actually see the things we need to see in the spirit realm. So the next question would be is, why would God do that if he's anointed us to do good works? Good question. I believe it's because we have to learn to walk not by what we see in the natural, which are our circumstances. Our circumstances, for the most part, stink, right? Almost everybody has lousy circumstances almost every day. Everybody's got to go through something, you know? There's always something that you could just go, you dirty dog. Right? I mean, you may not say it, but you're thinking in your mind, you. Harry Bum. Mr. Marshall. Anyway. God wants us to hear. And the only way we can hear it is by listening to what the Spirit is speaking to the church. Why? So that we can walk by what's unseen. That's walking by faith. And without faith, right, it's impossible to please God, the scripture says. So in order to be able to hear in that manner, to listen in that manner, we have to develop ears that hear the Spirit's voice and eyes that perceive a reality that's beyond what we naturally see. Now, I know we've touched on this before, but I believe God is releasing a greater anointing. Now, I think the first time I preached in church, it was way back, I don't know how many were there, but I was preaching about the road to Emmaus and how the disciples were on the road to Emmaus, and I had the chicken, I had the nose with the Groucho, you know, and would you recognize Jesus as he came in and everything? Anyway, I was telling Pastor Marie today, that message, it was my initial message, that message honestly has been on my heart for 20 years. I think about that message all the time. I just cannot quite, I mean, I understand the theological reasons, how it's been explained and all that, but it's hard for me to fathom that they could actually be that close to Jesus and not recognize him. Yeah. It's just hard to believe. I mean, one of the men that were walking, one of the disciples who were walking on the road with him, you probably heard me say this, his name Cleopas. Early church traditions say that he was Joseph, Jesus' earthly father's brother. So it's Jesus' uncle. Now, you remember how it was back in those days, right? It wasn't like, you know, everybody lived like on Long Island and everybody's 20 miles away from each other. They all lived together. And they released their kids to one another. You know, it was like a big clan. It's like when you lived in Little Italy. You know, everybody on the block was your mother. Yeah, you couldn't get away with nothing. Well, it was even worse back then. Yeah. So here's Cleopas, probably saw Jesus, you know, in his diapers, probably, if they had diapers back then, whatever they used, swaddling clothes. Saw him grow up, knew him intimately, becomes a disciple, so he knew him even in a spiritual way, and then he shows up on, Jesus shows up on the road, and he doesn't recognize him. And I've been thinking, Lord, what? How is that possible? I need to see. Yeah. I don't have to tell you the story, but let me recap it. They're walking on the road. It's 3 days after Jesus' crucifixion. Cleopas is one of the disciples that's walking, and they're discussing what had happened, and they're bummed out. They're all bummed out. You could say that they were in a paradox, much like we're in. You know, we come to church, we hear all this stuff, we're all jazzed up, and then we go out and get smacked in the face by the world, and we go, yeah, okay. What happened to all of that stuff that, you know, we've been believing and preaching? And so here they are, they're in this paradox. I mean, you remember I explained to you that a paradox is something that initially appears inconsistent, but when seen in a different frame of reference, makes sense. So it's the frame of reference is what I want to get you to. They had a frame of reference that the Messiah would look a particular way. He would do a particular thing, right? They expected liberation from Rome. They expected, you know, they were going to be free. He was going to be a warrior like David. They needed to see Jesus in a different way. They needed to see him from a different frame of reference. And I think these disciples had formed this understanding about who the Christ was, who Jesus was, what it was supposed to look like. I'm almost sure of it. And when he died, they got crushed. They just got like blown away. It didn't work. Well, everything we believed, everything we put our energies into, we went here, we went there, it didn't work. He died. See, his death did not fit the frame of reference in which they were looking at reality from. They were looking with particular eyes. Can you understand what I'm getting to here? It's like the same thing for us. We speak about Jesus as Messiah, but if we don't experience him as Messiah, as Savior, in some way, if we don't have a mystical experience, he becomes really a theological figure and not the Savior that he's really supposed to be. The circumstances that they experienced didn't support what they had believed. So what happened? The circumstances didn't support what they believed. So what happened was they ended up in unbelief. Unbelief. How many of us isn't that what happens to us? Now you don't have to, just think about it yourself. So I want to look at a couple of verses here, and let me give you what I got out of this, because I was looking at the verses again. It's Luke 24. I looked at 18 through 22. Luke 24. Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, but I want to zero in on 18 through 22 right now. So that, what's your homework then, right, to read the whole thing? So where we all do a part, right? All right, this is my part. I'm giving you 18 to 22. You do the rest of it. Then one of those whose name was Cleopas answered him and said, meaning Jesus, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known these things that have happened here in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all of this, today is the third day since these things have happened. And yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body, and they said that they had a vision of angels taking him. Now there's a couple of words there that just really struck me. One was, we were hoping that he was going to be. They didn't really believe that he was going to be, did they? Wow. They were hoping he was going to be. See, from their frame of reference, we were hoping he was going to be, and then he would ride in with the white horse and then defeat Rome and then, you know, call down fire from heaven. And then the second word is that they were astonished when the woman told them that he wasn't in there. Now, he told them he was going to be resurrected. The prophecies, God bless you, said that the Messiah would be resurrected. So what can you deduce from those two statements there?
They didn't believe it.
They didn't believe it. They were operating out of a different frame of reference. See, it wasn't that they didn't believe at all. They believed to the degree that they could within the frame of reference that they were operating out of. By frame of reference, I mean by the sight that they had, what they could see and understand. And then when it didn't fit within that, they got blown away. Now we're depressed. Shucks, I'm going to Waimea, so, you know. Moaning and groaning along the way. So when the stranger shows up, they're just continuing their moaning and groaning. For all practice, let me say this first. See, they didn't believe that he would be resurrected because they didn't have eyes to see that he would be. So what would it take to have eyes to believe that? It would take faith. And we need to see the correlation between faith and receiving this new visual acuity. It's going to take faith to believe in something that you don't understand and don't know how that could possibly... How can I have a different frame of reference? I have the frame of reference I have. Well, how did Jesus do the work? God anointed him with what? The Holy Spirit and power to do the good works. It's the Holy Spirit still works the same way. If we're to receive the anointing that Jesus did, to do the works that Jesus did, we have to receive it in the same way. The Holy Spirit and in power. Faith is the key element in the spiritual process. Now, it's said in some circles, psychological circles, that the mind creates the outer world that we perceive as reality. Your mind actually creates what you're perceiving as what's happening. I'd say it's probably more accurate to say that your mind creates your response to the outer world that you're perceiving. That didn't lose anybody, right? Everybody got that? So for practical purposes, all practical purposes, your response becomes your reality. So something happens, how you respond to it becomes what you think is real. Right? And then from that point, you actually live out your response. And you live it out as reality. Make sense? Okay. So it's not just what, this is important now. Get this, put a little... If you're taking notes, put a little star next to this. It's not just what you see that forms your experience, but it's the way that you see what you see. Because with these guys, it was only after Jesus spoke the scriptures to them and had communion with them, you know, he broke the bread with them, that their perception of reality changed. Because you remember what happened after that, right? Now, this totally makes sense when you look at the scriptures that Paul wrote, Romans 10, 17. This is a blessing, this scripture, and it also is a stumbling block for a lot of people. Let me say what the scripture is first, and I'll explain why. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. In some scriptures, it says the word of God. In most of the translations, it says hearing by the word of Christ. See, when he spoke the scriptures and explained and showed them where he was in each of the scriptures. But it wasn't the scriptures that changed the way that they saw reality. It was the one who was speaking that changed their reality. So, although the written word is very important, and I would never demean it, this is like an anchor. But let me tell you, faith existed, and communication with God existed before there was a written word. Abraham, Moses, you know what I mean? Just think about it. These guys had a conversation with God before there was a written word. So we use the written word as our anchor, but let's not use it as let's not let it be a stumbling block, because many times our interpretation of what it is, we're seeing through our own, you know, viewpoint, the way that was a frame of reference. And so we always need to be open to see that it might be changed, you know? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. It was because he spoke, because it came through the lips of Christ. And really, that's what, I thought I had a little note here. That's what the Amplified version of that, anyway, whatever. The Amplified version of it says that. That's through Jesus' lips that faith come. Amen. The words that come out of Jesus' lips. We read before that he was anointed to do such things, to speak these words of truth and to bring deliverance and to form new realities. The new realities of whether, you know, you're crippled and now you can walk, you were dying and now you're not, you're in bondage to demonic activity and suddenly you're free. He spoke and new realities were formed for people. This is the same anointing that we have access to. When Christ is preached, he who is the anointed living word, Jesus is the anointed living word, imparts eyes of faith that allows the hearers, the listeners, to see. And they see through a new perception, new eyes, a new reality beyond the reality that their natural eyes are forming. These eyes give you access to the kingdom of God, to see how the things in the kingdom actually work out. So in a sense, Jesus saves us by giving us new eyes. That's the way he saves us. See, because the circumstances could remain exactly the same, but you see it from a different perspective, and you're suddenly not in bondage to that thing anymore. You can look at it and laugh at it. Then it loses its power of control over you. And so you're delivered. His words change the viewing platform, which change what we perceive and experience as reality. So practically speaking, this allows us to live in the paradox of this earth, which is absolutely insane. I mean, the things that are going on right now, it's like, what? I mean, it's always been insane, but now it's like, you know, I guess because of the communication, the social media, and everything is immediate, you know, it just seems more intense. So the paradox is even more, amplified. And what this does is gives us the peace because we understand that we're seeing past what the circumstances are. And that happens in everyday life. And what that allows us to do is say, yeah, Jesus, I'm following you. Amen. This stuff, later for that.
That's right.
Later for that. Because I see that, I'm just not receiving that as real. It's, you know, it's happening, but it's not going to affect me on the same level. I'm following you. Mm-hmm. See, and that's not blind faith. A lot of people, you know, who are all in their heads. I'm with a group of people now, very smart people, and I'm receiving a lot of stuff. But man, these people are all in their heads. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm not going to say scary. It's not scary to me. But I feel for them, and I pray for them, because they're speaking about the Word of God and about the precepts of God without the power of the Spirit. And it's like, what? Okay, do what you got to do. But I'm not there to correct them, so that's not my function. So we don't follow Jesus in blind faith. That's what they would say. Oh, yeah, blind faith, you know. Doesn't make sense. No, that's right. We're following him with new faith eyes. Faith eyes. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10. I love this version, this scripture in this version. It's the New European Bible. A New English Bible, I'm sorry. New English Bible. It says, things beyond our seeing, things beyond our hearing, things beyond our imagining, all prepared by God for those who love him. That is, those that God has revealed to us through the Spirit. These things that God has revealed to us, how? Through the Spirit. Jesus was anointed to do the good works. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Not the natural. The Holy Spirit. So, going back to the road. So after they tell him their tale of woe, you know, the disciples now, back to the road to Emmaus. He says to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart. I wish I could be as tactful as Jesus. I'm praying for that anointing. I'm praying for the anointing. All right? You can support me. Because you know what that meant? It meant spiritually dull ones. Spiritually dull. That's what he meant. Foolish ones and slow of heart. Slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken, or to not to believe in all the prophets have spoken. I had to ask myself, are you talking to me? Because I feel foolish and slow of heart many times. How about I'm not getting this, Lord? And he says that they're foolish. And they're foolish in a direct relationship to their understanding of the Word of God. Foolish is their lack of understanding, their lack of revelation. Our lack of revelation concerning the Word. Many of us are slow of heart. And I can say that because we're slow to believe. Slow to believe all that the prophets have said. See, it doesn't say slow to know what the prophets said. Slow to believe what the prophets said. Jesus is merciful, though, right? So he takes them through all the scriptures and he shows them. And right there on the road to Emmaus, he starts a lifeline. And it must have been quite a Bible study. And he went through every chapter. So the question gets back to, okay, well, why didn't he just show up and show himself? Why did he constrain their eyes? The Bible says that their eyes were constrained, that they didn't see him. Why didn't he just show himself in the first place, right? Well, Proverbs 25:2 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. In the Living Bible, I like this, it says it this way. It's God's privilege to conceal things and a king's privilege to discover and invent. Wow. And guess who are kings, and right? And priests. So my thought is that he didn't want them to believe just because they saw him with natural eyes. It really doesn't take any faith to do that. He wanted their spiritual eyes to be opened. So he takes them through the scriptures first, and that lays the groundwork to help them develop their new spiritual eyes. And that's why it's important to read the Word. See, he wanted them to have faith because they heard. And because he was speaking, they would more than hear, they could listen. And they would get what he was saying, and they would see him, and that's what happened. And he went through it. It was stuff like how all the Levitical offerings. I'm not going to go through every book, but you know, in Leviticus there was all these offerings, and how all of those offerings, came together and were depicted in the perfect work of the cross. He was the perfect offering, or how Joseph's character typified him. In ways like he was rejected by his Jewish brothers, which is what happened to Jesus. He gave bread to the Gentile world, which is what happened when they came, right? He got all this bread. Then he took a Gentile bride, which is the church.
Amen.
All this and much more, and I believe the Lord is laying the groundwork for us today also. He's given us a way to see him before we see him. I think he was showing us how to read the Bible. He wants us to search the scriptures in order to see him revealed. When we do that, he will reveal himself through the Spirit. And so that's why it's important to read. Holy Spirit, read this with me, will you? You know? And that's the solution that Jesus gave to those he called spiritually dull. Read it with my spirit. And then what happened was he was revealed and their hearts burned within them. Right? Wow. It was the Lord. And it will be that way for us too if we're faithful to do this. Now, just as a little added tidbit, Emmaus comes from a root Hebrew word that means warm baths or spas, you know, springs, natural springs. I'm saying to you, when Jesus is revealed to us along the road, our road of Emmaus, our hearts will be bathed in the warm springs of living water. I had a picture. And in those days, there were actual hot springs along the road, you know. And many people went to these hot springs on this road to Emmaus for their medicinal purposes. So I believe when Jesus is revealed to us in this way, our hearts will also be bathed in the warmth of his love, and our physical bodies will be touched, healed, and restored. It's not written, but I'm projecting that.
Amen.
You know? I believe it. I believe that. See, and there is a scripture that says this. This is what I got to support it. Psalm 4:22 says, your words, they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. And David said in Psalm 119, 25, this is in the English Standard Version. My soul clings to the dust. In other words, he's going down the drain. Give me life according to your word.
Amen.
There's life that's imparted because it's the living word. Jesus' word gives life. Why? Why? Because Jesus' words possess divine resurrection life. And that's what he speaks into us. When you receive them, when we can receive them as that, or if we speak them in that way, in that faith and believing like that, the dead become alive.
Yeah.
You get refreshed with new life.
Amen.
And that's the anointing that's imparted to all that who believe.
Yes.
And just as an example, Paul, the Apostle Paul was preaching in Asia Minor. He goes to this place called Lystra. And you can see it in Acts 14, 8 through 10. And he's preaching Jesus. He's preaching the gospel. And there was a man that was sitting in front of him, whose feet hadn't worked. He had not walked since birth. Never walked, this guy. He was just sitting there, but he was listening to Paul. He was listening to the words. And this is the scripture. This is what it says. And Paul, looking intently at him, and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And so he sprang up and began walking and praising God.
Amen.
Jesus was preached and life was delivered to the dead legs.
Right.
So I want to encourage us today. Keep looking towards Jesus. Don't look towards the circumstance. Circumstances are always going to be, they're going to seem overwhelming. When you look to him, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, give me ears to not only hear, but to listen to the anointed words. Because those words are God himself communicating to you beyond actual words. Beyond actual words. I can't tell you how many times I haven't even voiced a prayer. And I've gone to the Word, and the answer was right there.
Amen.
I mean, that's incredible. And I'm like, how did you do that? Well, I'm God.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, good. All right. So be open. Be open to receive. Be open to receive those words that you read as such, the prophetic words that are given. Be open to receive them. And because what they'll do is they'll quicken your mortal body.
Yeah.
They'll quicken you.
Yeah.
Your soul, your spirit will get quickened. See, many of you have known the Lord and have been in church probably most of your life or a long time. Don't be satisfied with what you already know.
Amen.
Don't throw it out, but don't be satisfied with it. There's more. Find out for yourself who Jesus is, really.
Right.
Don't take somebody else's word for it. Go to the scripture and let this Holy Spirit speak to you about, you know, there's a whole book about his different names. Each one of those names is an attribute of Jesus.
Right. Yes.
Find out what they are. Find out all that Jesus was given by God. Why? Because all that he is and all that he was given is given to you.
Amen.
Also. God the Father has set aside all that he had given to Jesus for all of us. As amazing as that may seem. 1 John 3:2. When he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So let me ask you a question. How is he right now? Let me ask it this way. What form is he in right now? Yeah, he's in spirit. Right?
Yes.
So to see spirit, right? Because when we see him, when he's revealed, when we see him, we'll be like him. In order to see him, what do we need?
Spirit eyes.
We need spirit eyes,
right,
which have spirit vision.
Yeah.
So,
what?
How do we get that?
Hi.
What's that, Steve? Yeah, what Steve said, ask for it. Why? Because the scripture says, ask and you shall seek and you shall knock and the door. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened.
Yeah,
seek a revelation, get a revelation.
Amen.
Right? See, the law, the Old Testament law, was good, but it was about seeing yourself. It was about seeing, but seeing yourself. And when you see yourself, you see all the flaws. The new covenant is all about seeing Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish with this. Smith Wigglesworth, you know who that is, Smith Wigglesworth?
Yeah.
He's a guy with a funny name. He was a powerful man of God. He said this. Some people like to read the Bible in Hebrew. Some like to read it in Greek. I like to read mine in the Holy Ghost.
Amen. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
What is reading the Bible in the Holy Ghost? What do you think that means? Yeah, it's spirit. It's revelatory reading. It's what the early church used to call lectio divina. Holy reading. And you don't have to know that term, and you don't have to do anything special. You don't have to light candles or go to a special room or anything. All you have to do is say, Holy Spirit, I am in need of revelation. Open my eyes. I'm reading your word. Let it be more than just words that are a description that communicate something about you. Let it be a communication, an impartation of the power that is written there to my spirit so that I will advance my spiritual platform and my spiritual vision.
Amen.
So that I could see beyond my circumstances and not be constrained by it. And that's the way Jesus breaks every chain.
Amen.
That's the way.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So, a communication with God is what we need. Hearing the words, seeing the unseen, and living by new rules, those rules of the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
All right. We'll stand up. Let me pray. And that's what I got for you today. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you want to give us new eyes. You've wanted to do this all along, and you've been bringing us along the process. I like that song that Victoria sang, Lord. We're in this process where you are slowly but surely building block upon block, premise upon premise, breaking down the old, bringing in the new. And you do it so exact for each one of us. It's a corporate thing, but it's an individual thing also. And I thank you for this church, Lord, open to hear things that have challenged them and will continue to challenge them, but it's in that challenge that you show yourself strong. That you never leave us or forsake us. You don't leave us orphans, but you supply every good thing to perform your word so that it becomes complete in us. And we thank you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, by the way, we're starting.